Chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. We've studied the first 18 verses on previous occasions. And we've come now to the actual interpretation of the dream, where Daniel explains to Nebuchadnezzar God's message by means of this dream, and then we have the actual fulfillment of the dream, God fulfilling what he had told Nebuchadnezzar he would do. As I read through this, I couldn't help but be amazed at the patience of God in calling men to repentance. In fact, I noticed here 7 distinct calls to repentance. 7 distinct ways that God called Nebuchadnezzar to repent. Nebuchadnezzar had had much light. Remember in chapter 2, he had had the vision of the statue, and this was a real testimony to him, and as a result of this, he promoted Daniel and his friends to positions of authority. And so he had a good witness there of the true God. And then also in chapter 3, the fiery furnace, another excellent witness of God's power. And at the end of that chapter, he commanded all nations to respect the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he wasn't about to do it yet himself. And so we find here in chapter 4, in spite of all the light that he had had, Nebuchadnezzar was still proud, arrogant, unregenerate king. We have here then 7 ways that God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar. First of all, notice in verse 18, "This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." And I would say this would be the call of circumstance. Nebuchadnezzar here had a dream, and this circumstance that came into his life troubled him. He was concerned, and he called all the wise men and wanted them to interpret it. We have the feeling that they didn't want to interpret it. The interpretation was quite obvious, and it wasn't good news. And we get the idea that they weren't interested really in interpreting it. And so then Daniel came in, and Daniel was on the spot. The king knew that Daniel could interpret dreams. And Daniel wasn't going to get out of this one like the rest of them did by just pretending they didn't know. And Daniel was going to have to face the king and give him this bad news. And this was really bad news. Here was a call of circumstance. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and it troubled him. And I think many of us can look back and see how God brought circumstances into our lives that troubled us. I know before I was saved, several things happened that caused me to think. And as I encountered death a few times, the first thought that would come to my mind is, what would happen if I should die? And Nebuchadnezzar here was troubled, and God brought a circumstance into his life. He already knew that God was behind these unusual dreams that he was having now and then, and this circumstance troubled him. The problem is, as in many of our lives, although God will call us to repentance through circumstances he brings into our lives, and although these disastrous circumstances at times will make us think, we aren't always ready to repent. And that was Nebuchadnezzar's situation here. He was concerned, but he wasn't really concerned enough to repent. And so we go on to the next call, verse 19. I would call this the call of silence. "But then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. So we have here what I would call the call of silence. It says that Daniel sat there for 1 hour. Now, 1 hour is a long time when nobody's talking. Actually, the word here could mean moment also, although the other places it's used in this book, it does mean hour. But it could mean moment. It's also true that sometimes a few moments seem like a few hours. Every once in a while, with our children, we'll talk about old times, and my children will remind me that when they had been disobedient, we would go together to the bedroom, and we'd sit on the edge of the bed, and we'd just sit there. They had nothing to say, and I didn't have anything to say yet. And depending upon how serious it was, usually it wasn't necessarily any kind of special wisdom. I just didn't know what to say yet. I wasn't really sure what to do, and so we would just sit there. And now we'll joke about it, and they'll say, seemed like that was hours we'd sit there. It was probably only 5 or 10 minutes, but it seemed like hours. At any rate, this either was an hour or seemed like an hour. And they tell me now that they, in their own hearts, would say, why doesn't he just do it and get over with? Why not just go at it and let's get it over with? They didn't say anything. King Nebuchadnezzar here did. King Nebuchadnezzar here finally broke the silence and he said, now look, Daniel, let's get on with this. Let's, if the interpretation is bad news, let's have it. And that's really what God wanted him to say. He wanted him to be ready to hear the bad news. And so he broke the silence, let's get it over with. And really the goal of silence is to bring repentance. It gives a person time to think. And so Daniel here was probably keeping silence because he wasn't in any hurry actually to give that kind of news to the king. But God uses that silence as a time to bring thoughts of repentance to our hearts. And it shows, too, that God is in no real hurry to judge us. It's good for parents to spend some time in silence so that their children realize that they're in no hurry, really, to discipline them. They want to do it properly. And so God was in no real hurry to judge Nebuchadnezzar, to bring this discipline upon him. The third call, I would call the call of the Word of God to repentance. We have that in verses 20 through 26, where we have the interpretation of the dream. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let its portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come unto my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Here we have then the interpretation of the dream, which is really God's message to Nebuchadnezzar. So this is God's word to Nebuchadnezzar. And I would label this the call of the word of God, in which he gives specific warning in Scripture to us regarding our sins and our need of repentance. And he tells Nebuchadnezzar here very clearly the judgment that will come upon him, that he will become like an animal, living only by instinct, out of doors. As we were driving along this week, I thought about this portion, as in the cold, pouring rain, we saw these poor cows and horses. In fact, someone mentioned, if I were going to be a cow, I'd want to live in Florida. I thought about Nebuchadnezzar, out in all the weather. And God says, this is going to be your discipline that I'm going to bring into your life. This is what your pride will bring upon you. And this is the call then of the word of God, God's word of judgment because of our sin. Then verse 27 would be the call of the prophet of God. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a builder. We read that he made the city of Babylon, the capital city, a garden, the garden of the world, actually. In history, we read that he was quite a builder and that he wasn't known for his mercy either. Actually, he didn't build Babylon. He didn't lift a finger. He had workers, and apparently on many occasions, because of his rush to build this beautiful city, he wasn't exactly merciful and fair with all of his labor force. And Daniel here takes upon himself a tremendous responsibility to exhort the king, to give the king some unasked for advice. And he just didn't do that to kings. Daniel here was very courageous in giving to the king an exhortation. O king, now is the time to repent. Perhaps God will withhold this judgment that he has promised to come upon you. Then in verses 28 through 30, I believe we have the call of patience. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, by the honor of my majesty? Isn't it interesting that God gave Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of the dream, his word to him? Then he gave the exhortation by means of Daniel. And then he gave him a whole year. I rather wonder if Nebuchadnezzar didn't tone down a little those first few months. After he heard the interpretation of the dream and Daniel's words that he had better take this to heart, he would be wise to listen to what God was telling him. I imagine he tread lightly the first few months, but you know how that goes. After a while, you forget. And God just let him go on. He knew the pride of his heart. And yet God was waiting, I believe, for a specific violation. God wanted to have something very concrete so that Nebuchadnezzar could look back and say, I know that's what I did. And so God waited. And he waited a whole year until Nebuchadnezzar's hidden pride came to the surface again. He says, isn't this Babylon that I have built for my glory? And when it became a specific action, we read that God stopped him right in his tracks. In verses 31 through 33, we have the call of discipline. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagles, and his nails like birds' claws. We find here that God fulfilled that which he had said. And that's important for parents too. If you say something, you make sure that you do it. God here gives us a good example. He said what would happen. Nebuchadnezzar continued in his pride, and God fulfilled exactly what he said. God makes no vain threats, and he did it as he said he would. And immediately, as the words were still in Nebuchadnezzar's mouth. But you know, we see something here that's very interesting. God tells us the purpose of this discipline. He says, until thou know that the Most High ruleth. In other words, God has a purpose in the discipline he brings into our lives. He says, the purpose of this discipline is to cause you to know that I am the one who rules. And so this was a teaching experience, a learning experience for Nebuchadnezzar. Another thing it says here, until seven times shall pass over thee. We saw previously in this chapter, this undoubtedly refers to 7 years. Nebuchadnezzar knew here two very important things, even before God's discipline fell upon him. Nebuchadnezzar knew that this was not to destroy him, this was to teach him, that he might learn that God rules. And he also knew exactly how long it would be. It would be 7 times, 7 seasons, 7 circle of seasons, or 7 years. And so God told him these things very, very clearly. And that's why when we read in verses 34 through 36, we can call these really the call of promise, because God here then fulfills his promise. Notice in verse 34, and at the end of the days, in other words, after the 7 years, as God had said, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up, says, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Isn't it interesting that Nebuchadnezzar says, at the end of the days, God fulfilled the specific time of his discipline, the specific duration that he had stated. And so he says, my reason returned, my kingdom returned, exactly as God had promised. And not only that, majesty was added unto me. In other words, his glory afterwards was even greater than before. We find here a very clear evidence of God's love and forgiveness. Sometimes parents will say to their children, you go to your room and stay there till I tell you to come out. And there are two very, very serious mistakes there that we find here in this portion. First of all, it has no specific time length. God's discipline has specific time length. These are 7 years. Notice also the captivity of the Jews. They knew they were going to be in captivity 70 years. God's very specific as to how long the discipline is going to be. And also by saying, go to your room, it's saying, get away from me, I don't love you anymore. And that's not what God intends here either. God promised Nebuchadnezzar his continued love in that he said, the kingdom is still going to be yours after this time. And so when Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes, he knew God was faithful in the length of time of his discipline. He knew that God was faithful and his kingdom would be returned to him. And so he was very much aware that God's mercy was still there and still waiting. David said on one occasion, with thee there is forgiveness that thou mightest be feared. We never have to despair under the hand of God's discipline, because with him there is forgiveness that we might keep on fearing him, reverential trust. In the New Testament, the prodigal, he knew that his father would be waiting for him. And this is the kind of love that God has for us. Notice the result of all this. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Notice the result of the patience of God. Seven calls, seven distinct things that God used to bring Nebuchadnezzar to repentance. My, what patience! But he gained the repentance of King Nebuchadnezzar. With these words here, praise and extol and honor, are all present participles, which means they are a continued action. And so Nebuchadnezzar isn't just saying, well, right now I do this. He says, this is now my way of life. And although there's some difference of opinion on this, I think most of us would agree that there are real indications here that this was Nebuchadnezzar's time of conversion, the time when he came to a saving faith in God. Many times we want to, hearts want to rush around and try to rush people into repentance. And as I read this chapter, I noticed God's patience in bringing Nebuchadnezzar to repentance. And we need to be careful about trying to rush people into repentance and not giving God time to work. Also, Nebuchadnezzar says, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Sometimes we kind of like to try and abase people, you know, tell them they're sinners. They don't like it. Rather than giving God a chance to tell them that, because he is able to abase them. He is able to convince them of that. You know, I imagine this was a thrill for Daniel. I think we mentioned before that this was about 25 years after the fiery furnace experience. That means that Daniel and his friends were undoubtedly praying for King Nebuchadnezzar for 25 years. Praying for his salvation. And it just seemed like things were getting worse and worse. But God answered their prayer. What an exciting time this must have been. And I thought, sometimes after 1 year, 2 years, we become quite discouraged praying for people. But Daniel and his friends here prayed for Nebuchadnezzar 25 years. What an exciting time this must have been to see the king restored to his kingdom and say, as a way of life, I want to extol, honor, glorify the King of Kings, the one who's king over me, the God of heaven. How exciting that must have been. So don't give up for those for whom you're praying, because sometimes when it looks like things are going the worst is when God is really beginning to work. So give him time to take all the necessary steps. There might even be seven of them. All the necessary steps to call men to repentance.
So we pray. Father, we thank Thee. Even as we look back and see the ways in which You called us to repentance, and praise You for Your patience, we thank You also for this encouragement from Your Word after so many years. When Daniel and his friends had probably been discouraged many times and tempted to give up praying for that proud king who could, when miracles would come, give lip service but not really want to be saved himself. Now we thank You, Father, how You encourage us and show us that even after this long a time, You encourage their hearts and You bless them in seeing this wonderful answer to their prayers. Now as we pray tonight, we pray that You would give us faith to trust You, even for the things that we perhaps have become lax in praying about because we wonder if they could ever possibly happen. Encourage us anew and enable us to trust You tonight again, for Your working in the hearts of the ones for whom we're concerned. We praise You for this in Jesus' name. Amen.